Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm from Florence, Italy, and I'm enrolled in a game design master degree here at ITU, University of Copenhagen. And right now I'm working on a project called Game World Design, where we have to design, so in terms of drawing, making, program, a game world, meaning not a game, so no gameplay, no rules, no action in the game, but just the universe. So it will be the landscape, the characters, the complete world of a game. And for this project, we are making a Japanese woman's life through three chapters of her life, meaning the childhood, then I'm gonna work right now on the childhood, and the adult life, and then her as an old woman. But I can't tell you more because it will be a spoiler. So right now I'm taking care of the art of this game world, and I am using both pencil and paper, so material drawings, and the computer. Right now I'm gonna make the background of the second stage of her life, the adult chapter of our book. And I'm gonna draw a very abstract background. I'm not graduated as an artist or anything, but I really, really like to draw. And it's not something that the teacher told us to do. It's something that I wanna do and we can do, so I'm gonna do it. So what I'm doing now is the abstract background of our protagonist, the Japanese woman, and this will be the second chapter of her life, the adult age, meaning from 20 to 40 or 50, we haven't decided yet. We're gonna use Japanese mythology, which is heavily based on monsters and creatures that reflect people's feeling. So they're not just scary ghosts or monsters, but they're also linked to how the people feel, abandoned, lost, desperate. So the childhood chapter had more cute monsters, and now the adult age will have a more serious and a bit scary monster. So water will be really, really important in our game world, and we're having the water background in each chapter. So when she's a kid, when she's an adult, and when she's an old woman. But you have to find out why. As you can see, there will be a lot of sad faces or angry faces, so it's not exactly a good chapter of her life. And then we're gonna have to put all the drawings we make, both digitally and on paper, on what is called an art bible, which in game design is a collection of every sketch of every drawing or every digital kind of drawings that you make for your game, so people can look at it. If maybe they just want to look at the art, they can open the art bible, which in our case will be on PDF. It's nice to draw my own characters because I don't have to, this might sound mean, but I don't have to rely on other people, and I don't have to stress out because they don't do exactly what I want them to do, and I don't have to explain them how I want the character to look like. I can do it by myself and I know exactly of it. It was a bit difficult then to translate the paper drawing into the digital version because of course we make video games, so it's not like all the time we can use paper for that, but I think I'm getting it, even though it's not my passion is just drawing on paper, but I don't mind making a small effort to translate this into digital characters and digital landscape and digital drawings. We also had a class, a programming class, so the basis of programming. But that's not something I'm really good at, I guess because I'm not interested in that technical aspect. And that's why I enrolled in game design. But if you have a bachelor's degree in computer science, you can enroll for game design, despite what they recommend is enrolling for game technology. But if you're interested in game design, if you're interested in the creative aspect of it, even though you have a technical degree, you can do it. Of course, you can do it. You can do the opposite. If I don't have a bachelor's degree in computer science, I can't enroll for game technology. But don't worry, it's something I would never do, so there's no risk. And also be prepared that if you enroll for both technology and design with a bachelor's degree in computer science, you are more likely to get in maybe in game technology because people like me who have a humanity background or art background, of course we enroll in game design and then we get in that specific track. But even if you enroll in game technology, it doesn't mean you don't have to, you won't be the creative side of the process. You can be that, but of course people are going to ask you to program and to do more technical stuff. And that's something you will do a lot. But of course you're involved in the process of the game design and the level design. That's something we all do. Right now in my team, of course, there's not just me. There are four more people, and three of them are programmers. That doesn't mean they have to program all the time, but they know how to make this word real in the Unity engine, which I do not know how to use. So you're gonna need programmers. You can be creative, but you're gonna need programmers. So get along with everyone, because despite being in two separate tracks, we have to work together. There's no way we can work separately. And that's what this school trained me on how to do, because my bachelor degree, we didn't really have group works. And here is all about group works. Oh, and one thing that I really like about this course is that teachers always say that failing is a good thing. Failing is good. It's better to fail big than to succeed with like the minimum effort. If you fail big, you also have the chance to understand what caused the big failure, and then you can work on that, and you can grow from that. And that's why in one of my exams, I decided to explain what I did wrong in the projects instead of just taking credit for all the good things I did. And the teacher really appreciated that. Because he could see that I get what I did wrong and I could explain it, and that's probably even more important than succeeding. I'm not saying just come here and fail, but if you fail, make sure that you understand why and you can explain why, and the teacher will appreciate that. So now I'm going to show you some more characters and items that we made for the project. Okay, if you want to see the woman, the sketch was this one, but we're not going to use it. Or we can maybe put it in a picture on the wall or something that's just for the concept when we brainstormed. And this is supposed to be one of the monster I was thinking of using together with the other members, because it's supposed to be a lantern. Maybe you can see that there's a Japanese lantern. And I didn't make it up. It was a real monster, a real creature from Japanese folklore. And it's supposed to be a woman who was poisoned by her husband. And then her husband start to see her dead spirit in every lantern on the street. So you can understand how Japanese culture has this trauma and big dramatic events that will make normal people into monsters or ghosts, vengeful ghosts. So the inspiration for the project actually came from the Japanese folklore horror stories, and this is when I was trying to transfer the paper drawing into the digital version of it. So first I draw on paper, and then I upload the drawing on my computer and use it as a background for making the lines, digital lines that will form the monster, because I need to look at something. I can't just make it from scratch on the computer. I need to draw it first and then do the digital version. This is also typical Japanese ghost. That one thing I like about the Japanese monsters and creatures is that they're always semi-human, or they were human, but they have human feelings. We played a lot with animism, because everything can be animated. This is set umbrella that will use as a warning for the kid that something related to water is gonna happen. So this is why the umbrella is worried for her. So it will be something that you have to interpret. We're not really telling explicit things to the players, but we're gonna use folklore and mythology to convey idea, to suggest events, and then it will be up to you to find out exactly what happened. Of course, we're gonna have clues and secrets that you can discover. And this is the digital version of the, let's call it monster, let's call it creature, that I made. You can see that they're different. They're both good in my opinion, but I also prefer what I make on paper, even though I know it's not possible to use paper creatures in our games. So I did my best to make it look good digitally. As you can see, we have a little bit of color in our mouth because we decided to do black and white with some shades of gray as in this other umbrella. But we're gonna keep it a sad mood in the whole chapter. But we decided to use a little bit of color in every scene. So just one color in each scene that will remind you, okay, there's some color there, there's something important that I have to check there. So you'll be able to maybe open a drawer that is colored in brown, because the game will suggest you, will guide you through the exploration of the world. And I can show you the three drawings I made. This one is here. You can see that they're very similar style. And this one here is the background for the childhood chapter. So you can see that it's way more cheerful, and there are a lot of happy monsters, cute monsters over here. This one is eating candies, and we have two lovely parents. Everyone is smiling, sun. And then here, the situation is a little bit more dramatic. But here you can see I made water two times, and water is going to be in the third chapter as well, because as I said, it will be important in our game. And one funny thing that my dad, who saw this drawing, made me notice is that I wanted to draw trees on a hill, and I made this cypress tree, and he made me notice, you draw Tuscany, because Tuscany has a lot of cypresses. And I didn't even realize, I thought, oh, tree, oh, I'm going to draw this, because it's the trees I've seen for all my life. And I didn't really think, oh, wait, we are in Japan. Maybe Japan landscape is not exactly the same as Tuscany. But it's something that your mind does. And if it happens, just use it for more inspiration. And maybe this is the holiday they had in Italy. So it doesn't have to be Japan all the time in the drawings. A happy holiday that she remembers, the being in Tuscany. And the also I made another abstract drawing for the childhood as well, and we picked one. This one is a lot more simple. It just tells about the happy family that they were. And this one was supposed to be really, really childish, because you can see still playing with animism, Japanese animism, and I animated a lot of things, like her first teeth, the egg, the rice, so her breakfast, the birthday cake, the umbrella again. Everything is happy and smiling. But we decided to go with this one, with this style, because it looks more like a person thinking of a lot of things, of events from the past. So we decided to stick with this style, which is also the one I like the most. So it's I'm happy that we decided to go with this. And here we have the scenes with a lot of items that we're gonna place in a room. So in this case, it's the bedroom. Then we have the living room, where we have a color item again, because you need to focus on the spilled tea. We cannot say why, but you need to focus on that. And also I draw several background for the scene. So this is the background for the specific scene, and this is the background for all the chapter. So you're gonna see this in the chapter as you look around, because our project is with VR. So this drawings right now is almost done. I may need to think of other things for this blank spaces, but it's not like I have to finish it right now. I can usually, something I do is that I start drawing, then take a break, have lunch, and then even in the late evening, I go back to it with more ideas, because I've done a lot of things. I've seen people, I've seen things. So this is basically how it works. I start from scratch, just draw something. You don't have to have a specific idea. That specific idea will come after you draw from scratch, you draw something. And then I put it on the computer and do it digitally, not this particular one, because we're gonna just scan it. But for the monster you've seen and the creatures, I will put it on the computer and then draw them on the computer. And then we're gonna use the programmers. My job is done as an artist. And then the programmers will put the digital versions of the creatures on the actual Unity project. and then we'll place all around our scene, which in Unity is called scene. Also, so it's a bit confusing sometimes because I talk about narrative scenes, they talk about Unity scenes, but that's programmers' creative life together. And then we build the actual room or chapter or scene in the program, and you're gonna see something of it, not yet, but this is how it all starts.